It was hard for me to decide what to do this morning, whether I was going to wear the lapel mic and move around or stand here. And then I thought, it's way easier if you're doing live stream if they're not moving. So a lot of the time I think about what my sermons are going to be quite a ways ahead of time. In fact, I've been planning what slides into this sermon for a while. I'll turn it on, that helps. Anybody recognize that background from slides from a while ago? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm new at this. My wife is reminding me that we do have children's worship. So if you have kids that would like to go down and spend this time with other kids instead of listening to me, if you want to go down and help, you're welcome to do that also. Okay. So these slides are from 2015. They predate even myself serving here at Southside. And anybody, what is this? Anybody? It's our mission statement. It's our vision for what we want at Southside. We want to get to know and grow closer to God and reach up. We want to be reaching in to grow closer and love one another more deeply. And then we want to be reaching out to take our faith into the community and to show God's love to all. Every member of the Southside family is involved with a ministry that either reaches up to God, reaches into our family, or reaches out to the community. This is our mission. This is what we want to be doing. This is what we say we are about. How are we doing? How many of us are involved in any of those three? Reaching up to God, a ministry, reaching into our families, a ministry, or reaching out to the community, a ministry? Don't have to raise hands, just think about it. Think about it. We're talking about humbling ourselves today. Part of humbling yourself is being honest. Part of humbling yourself is accepting that there are changes that need to happen and that there is growth that will be beneficial. So as we travel through this scripture together, I want us all to think about what there is that we might be able to add of ourselves to this. I think you're going to find that there are opportunities in the coming months for us to do a lot of these things. There are people sitting in this audience right now who have ideas of how to reach the community. We have members now who are part of the community, who live close by to the building, and who share the message that we are sharing every Sunday morning as they come here. Are we doing the same? Okay. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. What are those desires that battle within us? What are they? It's okay to yell it out. I'm kind of trying to be like Jeff a little bit. If you say something, it's okay.
Jealousy.
Greed.
Power.
Those physical desires, physical draws on our personalities, Yeah. That pretty much encapsulates a lot of them right there, doesn't it? And at the same time, we all did chuckle when we saw those guys pop up there. They make it funny. They make us laugh at sin. Laughing isn't bad. But it's also good to remember that we don't want to become desensitized to those things that draw us away from God. And that's the other nature that's warring there. That other nature is the spiritual nature. It's what we're blessed with by God that allows us to fight against this. Yeah, we're fighting against Looney Tunes, guys. But think about it. Those are the desires that are battling within us. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. How true is that? How true is that of the world around us right now? How do we stand against that? How do we fight against the physical nature, the physical desires of this world? Well, we humble ourselves. We don't do the fighting. We may stand, but the fighting is done for us by God, by Jesus. And so, to humble ourselves, we have to ask. But we have to ask with the right motives. I'd really like a new car. But do I need one? How would that enhance my ministry? When we bought our house, we said, this is going to be a place that we can have people over, we can entertain, we can share the gospel. This time I do want to have hands up. How many of you have been in our house? How many of you have been in our home? That's a shame. That's a shame on us. Because we went to God and we said, we want our home to be a place that we can use as a ministry hub. We want to have the church in our home. We haven't done a good job of that. We want to do better. We have excuses or reasons. Three of them that run around the church building quite often. Don't feel like, just like you don't have to be perfect to be baptized. Your home doesn't have to be perfect to minister to people in it. Don't be afraid of being who you are as you share the gospel with others. So when you ask for things, do it with a pure heart. Do it with the motive of serving God. And you will be surprised with what you are blessed with. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Scripture says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. That physical nature is never going to be satisfied. But we can find satisfaction, we can find completeness in the spiritual gifts that come from the Father. The gifts that we receive from Him are perfect. They fulfill us. We just have to accept and desire those gifts and the righteousness and the good that comes with them. "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God, hatred toward God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Allows themselves to live in absolute ungodliness. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? "You adulterous people," boy, what does that harken back to? What does that bring to mind? The Israelites, the entire Old Testament. Oh boy. "Oh, we love you, God, we love you, we love you." Okay. Entire book of Judges. Are we the same way, though? Do we allow ourselves to live in that manner? To come to God with our needs, heal our sick, help me find a new job, I need this. How often are we trapped in that cycle in our prayer lives? And it's not wrong to pray about those things. It's a good thing to pray about those things. But as we're lifting those people up who need physical healing, are we lifting them up spiritually as well? Are we praying for that illness to bring them, a caregiver, someone in their family, closer to God? There's a lot of challenging stuff here. Our prayer life is important. Our prayer life is going to help us to get into the upward, the inward, and the outward ministry that we say that we want to be about as a church. If we can train ourselves to refocus our prayers so that they're not just for the sick and the hurting, but they're for the strengthening of the spiritual lives of the sick, that they are for the restoration of those who are long away from the assembly, who are missing their brothers and sisters. If they are for those who are without homes, to not only find a home, but to find a family in Christ, and then to be that family for them, then we're not going to be adulterous people. We're not going to go to the world instead of to God. And those people that we're praying for are not going to go to the world instead of their family to have their needs met. God wants us. That verse 5 is, it's hard to digest a little bit. "Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us?" I'm not a scholar. I've barely scratched the surface in studying Greek. But this sentence structure, how many of us can say, just with what I just read and what we've heard, I get that. It makes complete sense to me. I think it's kind of flipped around a little bit. The Spirit he caused to dwell in us envies intensely. Or better, that the Spirit he caused to dwell in us longs jealously. What does it long for? It doesn't long for God. It longs for us. God is jealous when we turn to the world to fulfill our needs. God is jealous when we turn our backs on our family to find what we need somewhere else. That's the jealousy that we're talking about here. It's not anything other than him wanting us in the family. He gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So everything's going to be all right. It's all peaches and cream once we're part of the family. It's not going to be difficult. We're not going to have disagreements. No. That humbleness is submission. It's submission to God. It's submission to our spouses. It's submission to the elders. And that allows us to grow. Now, submission doesn't necessarily mean blind following, but it means hearing. And it means allowing those words that are shared, those ideas that are shared, to go inside of us. Because our spouses, the elders, they're here because God put them here. And so, while their words may not be His words, they are attempting to the best of their abilities to point us toward Him. So, when things seem strange and new, there's ideas that come that don't quite fit with what we've always done, it's hard to not push against them. But growth comes through change. So humble ourselves. Walk into God's presence and ask Him to show us His desires. Ask Him to give us ideas of how to measure how well we're reaching up to God with our ministries, how well we're reaching in to serve each other with the ministries that we're doing, and how well those ministries are reaching out. We need things to measure that, and they're there. But how many of us know what they are? I don't even know what they all are. So my challenge in the next few months is that I want to start putting together ways to measure how our ministries are doing. Whether we're serving the way that we say that we want to be serving. Whether we are engaging people in the way that we should be. July 1st of 2016. That was the first day that I was technically on the payroll for Southside. September 3rd of 2023. That's a long time to go without knowing what exactly it is that I should be using to measure how good our ministries are doing. I love serving you, and my family loves being here. But God calls me to better than that. So I ask you to hold me accountable for putting those measuring sticks in place and letting you know what they are, so that you can look at ministries that you're involved in or want to be involved in and know what is it going to mean for that ministry to be effective. What does it mean to the church? What does the church expect this to look like? Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist. It's not fighting, it's resisting. Again, God is doing the fighting for us. We don't have to fight this battle, we have to stand with him. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's the first part. That up part is the first and most important part, because without that connection, nothing else is possible. So I encourage us all to figure out, whether we're a part of a ministry or not, how do we reach up to God? How do I walk into a room and look at Rocky or look at Zach and know, okay, these are the things that I can ask them, or this is what I can see in their lives to know that they are reaching up to God? How can I encourage them to do that? Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make yourself ready for God. Prepare yourself for Him. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be ready. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. There's a lot of different ways to look at that. I think that for me, when I look at that verse, I try to think about all the things that the world puts great value in. I think of all the things that the world holds and puts up on a pedestal or says, this is great, this is what you should aspire to. And those are the things that we want to get away from most of the time. Those are the things that are holding us back from a deep relationship with God and our brothers and sisters. And so, changing our laughter to mourning and our joy to gloom doesn't mean that becoming a Christian takes all of the joy out of life. It doesn't mean that it sucks all of the laughter out of us. But it means that the joy and the laughter, the fulfillment, come from different places. It comes from God. And so, grieving and mourning and wailing, yeah, well, when there's a funeral, those of us who are left behind, we mourn and we wail and we grieve for our loss. When we turn and follow Christ, it's a funeral. There is a life that we are leaving behind. Sometimes there may be some mourning on our own parts for things from that life. There will be things that you miss. There are things that I miss 20 plus years after that I still think about. But the joy and the laughter comes from the knowledge of being in the presence of God and from knowing the family that supports you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Again, not just everything is peaches and cream. No. But lifted up, strengthened. In John chapter 14, it's not going to help if I try and read Luke. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. We have to get to a point to truly follow Christ. We have to get to a point in our lives where we are dissatisfied with what the world has to offer. We have to look around ourselves in our own life and in the lives of people around us. We have to look around and see, this does not fulfill me. Once we reach that point, that is when we can truly embrace the Christian walk. Our nature is to walk as the world walks, to live as the world lives. It's the easy way. It's the simplest way on the surface. We're called to something better than that. We are called to humble ourselves, to reach out to God. I would like us as a congregation to do that. I would like you to hold me accountable. Patrick and I have talked about accountability groups. The elders have talked about accountability groups. We've had one or two that have started to meet. I'm asking you to hold me accountable. I'm asking you to hold the church accountable to following that mission statement, to following the desire that we have that everyone is involved in a ministry, the desire that those ministries reach up to God, that they reach in and build up our brothers and sisters here at Southside and in other congregations, and that they ultimately, and most importantly to me, reach out to the community around us, whether it is this building or the houses and apartments that we live in, that it reaches out to the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Hold each other accountable. Hold me accountable. Please. I know that I can be grumpy. I know that when you see me sitting back there at the desk and I am helping to do live stream, or I'm trying to get the audio going right, or I'm in the other room and I'm looking and it's still not synced up, no matter how many times I've tried, approach me anyway. Come to me anyway. Let's grow together. Let's humble ourselves and say, we've fallen down some, and we can do this better. And let's encourage each other to do that. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. Change of culture, change of habits is not something that is easy or quick. What's easy and quick is starting to change and sliding right back into what we have done in the past. And the only way to keep from doing that is to hold each other accountable. So if you're visiting us and you're hearing this, we're broken, but we love God. And we trust Him. And we believe that He has what we need and what the world around us needs. And we want to share that with people. If your home is already here at Southside, commit to this. Please, 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 please start praying fervently. Start living this to the best of your ability. Come to me. Ask me to hold you accountable. Find other people. Start looking for those ministries. We've got a list of stuff that we've been doing in the past, and there's a whole bunch of other things that we could do in the future. But we have to step up and start being the doers. So, if you want to pray, I invite anyone who wants to pray to come down front after I finish, and let's pray together right now. If you need to be restored, if you need to make something right with someone in this building or someone else that is a member of the Lord's body, I urge you to do that now. If you aren't a part of Christ's body, if you haven't come to know Him, if you don't have Him as your Savior right now, I encourage you to find myself or Troy or Ken or so many other people in this auditorium that will be happy to talk with you and share the life-changing stories that we have about following Christ. He is jealous. He wants everybody to be in His family. He wants to adopt every last one of us. And so, let's give Him that opportunity. Let's open our hearts to Him. And as a congregation, let's reach up to Him. This is going to be an encouraging time, I believe. I think this is going to be a time of growth for us. I think this is going to be a time where we can humble ourselves and look at what has been and see what God has planned for us. And I think it's amazing, and I think it's going to be beautiful. So, if you want to pray, please come down. If you need prayers for something else, come. If you don't know Christ and you want to know him, you want to learn more, please come and let me know as we stand together and sing the song that is prepared.